I'm as near to losing my mind as I've ever lost. I wasn't surprised by the outcome. I don't know what was going on. There was a spiritual, something was going on. I knew that I could go back on the internet and distract myself and get a hold of myself again, but I knew that God was speaking to me. And my wife was not at home. My handicapped son was not at home. They were at the hospital. So I get up and I thought, well, I'll go to Walmart and I'll walk around in Walmart for a while where there's people and I'll see what's up. So I come to Walmart parking lot and I thought about my son, Stephen. And I text Irma and I ask her, what room are you in? And she said, so I went to the room and my wife's there beside the bed in a recliner sleeping. And I stand there beside the bed of my completely handicapped son, having just observed the most powerful person in the world becoming president, standing beside a very weak person that has never accomplished a thing in his life. And there I stood. I allowed God to speak to me about what was really important in life. You see, my son has no certificates. He has no achievements, no nothing. He can only do one thing well. One single solitary thing. That is to give and receive love freely. We have no connection to his intellect at all. And yet, we can love him and he can love us. We have two Down syndrome boys in our church. And over and over and over again, God has spoken to me through them. I could tell you stories, exact stories, words, not just examples like my son. Actually, God speaking to me through them. Our church is because we have lived some of the things I'm telling you, where we've allowed people to be real, we've allowed the weak things to exist. We have a very messy church. And one day, Laban and I were eating together and we were complaining about all the work we have to do, all the pastoring we have to do. And I said, Laban, I'll tell you how to clean this up. If you take the weakest two people in the church and you make an example out of them, no one else will have any problems. Problems will be over. They'll all go in hiding. That's what I mean. He said, Kenny, I couldn't do that. That would be me. I'm telling you, there's the heart of a leader. He was actually being honest when he said that. He had just been sharing with me his marriage problems. He had just been sharing with me his personal problems. And so when he said that would be me, that's what he meant. And so for us to enter into this, one of the things we'll have to do is start listening to the weak people among us. The population that we work with mostly, almost exclusively, not quite, is a population of people for where there is no help for almost anywhere else. And I'm blessed to hear that Dave Leachty also works with this population some. And that's a population of SRADID, and that is satanic ritually abused with dissociative identity disorder. And what DID is, it's a multiple personalities. And a satanic ritual abuse is where people have been ritualistically, the CD in their life has been taken out, sometimes literally out of their body, the spirit, and heinous things done to it and stuck back in their body to hide their effect, because they're trying to take these people out of their destiny. And so when we're working with these people, sometimes we don't know if we're talking to a personality, we don't know if we're talking to a demon, we don't know what we're doing. And so our dependence on the Holy Spirit is absolutely, hands down, crucial. You cannot, in any possible way, go through this with your mind. Yes, there are things we stand on, the written word, but to be smart enough to fix anything like this, absolutely impossible. In that bondage, a question comes up. The question is, what place does choice have in what we're doing? What place does choice have? And when you deal with things like generational iniquity, the argument that comes up is, like, for instance, the way I would explain generational iniquity, I've gotten into very heated arguments with people that would say absolutely nothing like generational iniquity, there's nothing like generational sin at all. I beg to differ. We all understand that because of what happened in Genesis 3, when a child is born, the seed that's in them that has their destiny in it also has the Adamic nature on it. And if you leave that child to himself, he will become the ruler of the house at 2 years old. Okay? We understand that. That nature came through my dad, through his dad, all the way back to Adam. It's still called Adamic nature. The reason that people have arguments against it is because what they feel, and is sometimes true,